I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seat of the bad. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny don't care about no snowstorm. Get her sticky icky when she's drinking shots of JMO in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion. Shake it up, should do better. All my friends that come around, fight to fight to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess this town's a tatter. My brains splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shaking. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Pharrell with Carver. Hi, this evening. And the Raiders just tied it up at 17. In Sin City at Allegiant, they were down 17-10 at the half. Herbert's been carving them up. And look who's in, Marcus Mariota. Carver High has, I've been watching the Warriors and Kings. I know he played like the whole second quarter. I know he came in for Carr. Carr felt a groin pop, whatever, left the game. Is he still out? Is Mariota still leading this football team tonight?
Yeah, Carr is done for the night. Mariota is going to be the quarterback for the rest of the night.
Wow. And so how did they score to tie it up? Did you see that, how that went down?
Yes, nice drive. Mariota actually had a really long run to start the drive. Then he hit Waller on a big play for like 25, 30 yards. He converted on a 4th and 2 from like the 20. And then a pass interference got them to the 1, and then Jacobs took it in. So tie game.
Sweet, 17s. The Raiders suck. I just wanted to elaborate on that a little bit. So we talked about them today on Coast to Coast, right? And how, you know, a lot of people think their defense has melted down. They've had so many games. I can't even keep track of it. I actually want to pull it up, Carver High, because I talked about it today, that they've had so many games where they've allowed at least 30 points. That defense of theirs is putrid. Look at their games. Panther game, week one, gave up 30. Then against the Saints, 24. Against the Pats, 36. Bills scored 30 on them. Chiefs scored 32 on them. Buccaneers scored 45 on them. Then they finally had a good game, held the Browns to 6. Chargers had 26 against them. Broncos 12. Chiefs 35. And then the Falcons 43. Jets even put 28 on them. And then the Colts 44 on them. And now tonight, early in the third, they've allowed the Chargers 17. Their defense is you know, broke ass. They've fired Gunther. Marinelli now running it. Once again, they were talking today, Kaplan, about how, you know, Marinelli's in his 70s, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line is that it's amazing to me how no one ever just talks about the fact that, you know, Gruden has taken over the Raiders in Oakland. And then in Vegas, he's still running the show. 10-year deal, $100 million. I'll get into it in a second. We welcome all of our radio affiliates everywhere, north, south, east, west, top to bottom. You name it, everywhere, under rocks. We're all over the place. We're unavoidable. Don't forget, we're on in San Diego and all of Southern California on Mightier 1090. And starting January 7th, how does this sound? Sports Grid Radio Network on Sirius XM, all over the southern hemisphere of the globe. And believe me, you can hear it in the Caribbean, rocking, chilling the most at the beach. You can listen to Sirius XM. Channel 204, the takeover starts January 7th. We're stoked. All right, so, you know, he's run this team, right? They're paying him $10 million a year. Highest paid coach in basically sports, right? Is he not? And the bottom line is there's no results. None whatsoever. He gives you a couple of nice sound bites every week. He's, average at best. I mean, explain it to me, Carver High. What is so special about John Gruden and the job he's doing with the Raiders? No one ever says it. They blame every Gunther. They blame the injuries. They blame the weather. They blame COVID. They blame protocols. They blame injury, everything. They blame everything. They never blame him. He never gets blamed for anything when he's actually taking his job, $10 million a year, and they suck. They're average at best. You know it. I know it. They're not going to the playoffs again. And they still stink. That's it. Like, Vegas, you can have raw eggs. I don't want to hear it. You know it. I know it. We know it. They know it. Vegas just wants to believe that that's their team. They've had them for this season. And nobody in the stadium. That sucks because of COVID. But let's face facts. The hockey team's way better. And that's their team. That's their love affair. They're pretending like this is the greatest thing in the world. They love the Raiders. That's their club. And they're just average. I mean, that's it. I mean, there's no getting around it. Carver, you can't even argue it. Like, what has he done? I mean, nothing is what he's done. It's just not working. And he's going to be there for, what, another 7 years? They're not getting rid of that guy. They owe him so much money, it's not even funny. Mark Davis wouldn't even think of it.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So back on For All the Bench, would you even argue what I'm saying about this guy? He just threw the challenge flag on a 2-yard pass, which I don't see the point of, to be honest with you. And all I know is, and I'm not sitting here trying to like be clever or anything, or, you know, be a smart ass. I just was, you know, at the point today when we were talking about how bad it's gotten for them and how, what have they lost, 5 of 6, and how they're just, you know, crashing and burning and their season's going down the drain. And I've heard every excuse in the world, you know, he fires Gunther, everything else. And I know that Mark Davis hasn't been going to the games because if the fans aren't at the games, he's not going to be at the games. And they got this great new stadium and everything. And I don't doubt that Vegas can have something special in Vegas with the Raiders eventually. It certainly isn't right now. It isn't this year. And I just think that, you know, at the end of the day, they always talk about he's, you know, this great coach. He's turning everything around, the culture, the franchise. He's building a winner. And all I have to say is, you know, my ass, not building anything. The bottom line is that they just get absolutely poured on like a rainstorm with points. Their defense is atrocious. Rod Marinelli's not the answer. That's their answer to their problem. Like, honestly, like, no offense, but at what point have you ever heard anyone, honestly, say one bad word about him? They just got scored on again. I think the guy, I think he dropped it in the end zone. Uh-huh. He had a touchdown guy and he dropped it. The rookie dropped it. He'd been dropping passes this whole game. Herbert hit him on a beautiful slant and the kid dropped it. Now he's dropped a touchdown pass right in his hands. But the defender had his hand in there all the way. But am I wrong? Like, no one ever blames Gruden for anything. It's like they're afraid of him. I think he's done nothing.
No, I completely get it. I think that giving him that enormous contract when he hadn't coached for whatever it was, 15 years, was pretty silly. You know, the one positive I'll say is, even though they still are not a great football team, they're a little better this year. I get it. Defensively, they suck. But, you know, they've been in games. Like, they've got 7 wins. They've lost a couple other close ones. They're improved over his first 2 years as the head coach. So that's the one thing that I will say. That doesn't mean that they're ready to compete with these other teams in the league on the elite level, but I think that they did improve somewhat. And I know that they've got a lot of excuses, but the whole league has a lot of excuses this year. Everybody has problems.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, you know, I won't deny that they've been in some games. They, you know, they beat the Panthers. They beat the Saints. That was impressive. But when they played, you know, they lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Bills. They beat the Chiefs. That was the best thing he's done since he's got the job, was beating the Chiefs at Arrowhead. The Bucks beat them. They beat the Browns, which is a decent win. I'll give you that. They beat the Chargers barely, but barely counts. They beat the Broncos, but the Broncos sucked. Then the Chiefs beat them. Then the Falcons beat them. Then they got lucky with the Greg Williams call against the Jets in the last-minute bomb to Ruggs. And then the Colts kicked their ass, and now they're tied tonight. I mean, look, I'm not saying they're the worst team. I'm not saying they're terrible. I know they're 7-6. It could be way worse. You might be right. They're a little better than they were the last couple years. I mean, how long has he been the coach now? 3 years? This is like his third year, right?
This is his third year.
Okay. Well, have they made the playoffs?
No.
No. So $10 million. I want to be in the playoffs. You know, Al Davis is turning in his grave. I mean, the bottom line is that I think Al would be, and you know what I think of Al Davis. I love him. I thought he was like a titan, like just a gigantic force, a maverick in the NFL's history, and has a huge part in the league's success. People can say whatever they want about Al Davis, but if you don't understand what he meant to the NFL and what he did for the NFL and, you know, the AFL, everything that he accomplished is amazing, truly amazing. And he always tried to do what was best for the Raiders. Even when he moved them, everything he did to, you know, win. Just win, baby. That's it. He just wanted to win, and he wanted the fans to be happy. I thought he was one of the greatest owners I've ever seen in sports. And, like, I think he'd be proud of Mark for what he's done, that he pulled this deal off. He's just like his old man. His old man would have done this deal. He would have moved to Vegas. He would have built this billion-dollar stadium. And he'd be, you know, increasing the value of the franchise tenfold. I think, you know, I've told you before, I think in 5 years, they'll be the number one most valuable franchise in the NFL. Everybody says it's Dallas every year. It's automatic. And I get all that. And I understand all that. The whole Jerry Jones, Dallas aura and what they make down in Dallas is amazing. But I think they can do it here in Vegas. Dallas is cool. I think Dallas is a great place. I like going there. I've enjoyed it. Every time I'm there, I love Dallas, but it ain't Vegas. Okay. It's not even close to Vegas. Nobody goes to Dallas really to, they go there on business trips and to see sporting events, but they don't go there to have fun, in my opinion. No offense to anybody, but you go to Vegas to party and have fun and to do it all, right? To live large and to break rules and to get away with murder. And all I know is I'm sure Al would be proud of his son getting him to Vegas. And what he's pulled off is truly amazing. They're there now permanently. Count on that. They're going to be in Vegas forever. So the point being is that after the fact that they're there and everybody's happy, at some point you have to, you know, get them in the playoffs and win. Just win, baby. If you don't win, all of it's for naught, right? Like, that guy only cared about one thing and one thing only, and it was winning. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. He brought in players that, you know, won Super Bowls. That's it. I mean, everything he did was to win Super Bowls, and he did it. And the bottom line is his son hasn't. And I think Mark's very shrewd. I think he's doing a great job with the franchise. Don't get me wrong. But they have not brought in the players. That's a fact, to win a Super Bowl. What do they got on this team besides, you know, and I don't even think, like, I think Waller's their best player. Would you agree with that, Carver? Waller's the best player?
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. Waller and Jacobs, those are two pretty good pieces on offense.
Okay, so do you really think that they can win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr? Let's just get down to business here. That's a no.
No, probably not. I've seen worse quarterbacks. I think worse quarterbacks have gotten to Super Bowls, but I'm not sure if he can get you there and win it himself. No.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now another touchdown for the Chargers. And remember, the Chargers are 4-9, and they're doing Bellage with the touchdown from 1 yard out. They're doing whatever they want to this defense. Now, this is going to be another 30-point game, right? They're going to allow 30 tonight, as sure as I'm sitting here. And the bottom line is they stink. And, you know, you can't win Super Bowls, in my opinion, with one good player on the team, or two, or three max. I mean, you know, I've heard them brag about Crosby on the defensive side, and I won't deny the guy plays his ass off and goes hard and has quite the engine, right? But overall, nobody's afraid of him. I mean, you know, the bottom line is no one's, he's not some earth-shattering, game-stopping, defender and pass rusher. He's tough as nails. I'll give you that. He goes hard. But at the end of the day, what does he really do besides nothing? I mean, let's face it. If they're bragging about Crosby, that he's this great player, then how do they give up 30 a week? I mean, you know, you don't have anyone on the defense that's good. That's just all there is to it. I mean, that's it. You know, they're not winning Super Bowls in Vegas because they don't have any players. They don't have any stars. They don't have any, definitely don't have any superstars. And all they got is a new stadium.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so it's that time again. Thank God, when you think about it, Carver High, because I don't know if fans know this or not, like, get over it, like, have a sandwich, you know, have a Bud Light or something, drink a shot of Johnny. It's my last show of the year right here tonight. I'm out until, I think it's January 4th, Carver High. I can't stress enough.
That would be correct. Monday, January 4th.
Right. Well, there you go. Listen, here's the deal real fast. I do this every year, and I know there's been all kinds of speculation about why does he take so many vacations? Well, the reality is, if you do the math, I never do it. I work like from January until like Halloween without a day off. And then I take off like, you know, this year I stayed through Halloween because of a fight, so we could promote the fight. Then I took off the first week of November. Then I took off Thanksgiving. Then I take off Christmas. I take off New Year's. And then I take off one in late January. Usually I go to surfing or go to the Caribbean or whatever. Now I can't even go down the street without getting some deadly disease. I can't even go play basketball without people telling me, don't touch me and all this other stuff. Don't breathe on me. Don't look at me. I go to the gym. I'm wearing masks. Like, it's ruined everyone's life, right? So I'm not even going on vacations. I'm on staycations. The last vacation I took, I cleaned my basement for 2 weeks in a dumpster in my driveway. So the whole thing sucks. 2020 sucks. I don't care about that stupid ball in Times Square either. But we do have, on my last show, the great Joe Lisi. Thank Jesus in heaven that we have Joe on, because I love talking college football with Joe Lisi. We'll get him back in a second. I don't know what just happened. There was a we'll get him on in a second. Carver High having issues right now. Somebody just tipped over his Bud Light, and he's very angry. He's yelling at people. Things will get back on track, hopefully. But anyway, all right, so we got Joe now. Can we bring him on? How you doing, Joe? Hope everything's all right. We had a little glitch there.
Oh, Scotty, always a pleasure. Last show of the year. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk college and pro football with you. I'm going to miss you.
So we'll get it going again for sure. Joe, do you just do college football, or do you do everything like college basketball? Do you get into that too, or what do you do after the college football ends?
Well, I do college and pro. I do watch college basketball. I keep that on the side, but I play college basketball. You know, keep that under the radar. But I do follow the hoops once the college football season's over. So you know, I have my eye on March Madness come February and March.
Well, we'll get you back on for that then. You know, I have a massive gambling problem, and I bet on just about every college basketball game every day in terms of on the board for my followers and you know, my customers at ForAllOnTheBench.com, and they love the action. They love every game. It's a regional thing. Like, you know, I've always said, people are like, why do you put up so many college football picks? I'm like, well, the guy that lives in Utah, he wants those BYU and Utah State games. The guy that lives in Florida doesn't just want you know, one team. He might want all of those teams down there: Miami, Florida, Florida State, UCF, USF. You know what I mean? Like, so it's regional all over. People love it. Same thing in basketball. I think people dig it. Let me ask you this question. When you're watching, we were talking tonight about John Gruden, and I said that, and, you know, Carver High said that he's done better this year and that he's made them improve this year. But I'm on the boat that says for 3 years, they paid this guy $30 million, $10 million a year, $100 million deal, 10 years. And I think Al Davis is turning in his grave that they don't go to the playoffs. And they're so far from winning a Super Bowl, it's not even funny. I just said they have about one or two star players on the whole team, Waller and Jacobs. And I don't think Carr's a Super Bowl quarterback. I think he's good, but I don't think he's great. And I think that basically he's fleecing them. I don't think they're doing anything, and I don't think they're going to the playoffs this year. Do you think he's doing a good job, or do you think he's just average?
Yeah, I think he's right now, I think he's at average. And I think it's a slow progression in terms of, you know, getting this team back on track. And when you see the NFL and when you see college, it's a win-now mentality. It's no longer a 5 or 7 year window like some schools or in the NFL what Gruden is used to. It's a win-now mentality. So you hit the ground running. If you can't change it in 2 or 3 years, you're usually on the outside looking in for a job. So it's been a very slow progression, and you're right, Scotty. You look at this roster right now, outside of Josh Jacobs and Waller, I mean, who's the elite wide receiver? Aguilar's just basically a mediocre wide receiver. He's not a top 10 wide receiver. You can't put him in the same category as Adams or DK Metcalf or any of those type of burners. So they need speed on the outside. They have Ruggs. He's out with COVID, but again, they need to revamp this offense right now, and I agree with you about Carr. He's just a middle-of-the-road quarterback, being an elite top-10 quarterback, not this point in his career.
So I said today on Coast to Coast, we'll get into all the games, Joe. You know I'm going to hit every game with you. I got to get all this other residual stuff out of the way because I care about your opinion. So I said today, we were talking to Adam Kaplan, and I love Adam, and I've known Adam forever. And Adam is my NFL insider. He comes on the show. He's very tuned in with teams and front offices and coaching staffs and everything, players, et cetera. He knows what he's talking about. I don't have a problem with that. But what I have a problem with is he started talking to me today about one way or the other, Carver High knows. I don't remember. I have early for Alzheimer's. I don't know how it started, but he started talking to me about Justin Fields and that, I'm like, listen, that guy threw 3 picks against Indiana and Penix made him look foolish. He threw for 491 against him. I said, you know, what's he going to go down to Jacksonville and be a franchise quarterback? I said, I'm not buying it. And he said, I think basically in not so many words that he thinks he's, most NFL people and, you know, insiders in the NFL, coaching, executives, everyone think that he's a franchise quarterback, like turn around any franchise if you get your hands on Justin Fields. He even said that he could be 1 or 2 in the draft. We all know he's not going number one. And my contention was, Joe, that he's not, I don't think he's a number two. Then I said to Adam right on the air, I went, name one quarterback that ever came out of Ohio State that amounted to a hill of beans in the NFL. I said, name one. Name one. And he couldn't. And I could rattle off all of them. I said, listen, that guy is overrated. Now, that's just how I feel about it. And then I went down the list. And it was ugly. I mean, it is so ugly. It could have been way worse, but I cut it off at Troy Smith, Terrell Pryor, Braxton Miller, Cardale Jones, Dwayne Haskins, and I could have kept going. Don't get me started, Joe Lisi. I could have gone to Krenzel. I could have gone to Joe Germain, Bobby Hoying, Kent Graham. I'm going to hurl. Tom Tupa. I'd rather have a toupee than Tom Tupa. And Art Schliester, who spent 20 years in federal prison. God bless him. But they have never had a quarterback ever. Art, how about this guy, Herb Street? My daughter's a better quarterback than Kirk Herbstreit was. They have had the biggest crop of overrated hack quarterbacks in the NFL ever. Boom. How do you like them apples?
I think that's great. I'll add to that, Scotty. Tom Tupa was a better punter in the NFL than he was a quarterback. Okay, you can add Troy Smith into the mix, right? Troy Smith, the former Baltimore Raven, and a friend of the show. He's a great guy. Greg Fry was one of the all-time gunslingers in Columbus. You know, back in 1990, led that comeback for Ohio State. Actually, it was 1989 in the Golden Dome there against Minnesota. But you're right about Ohio State quarterbacks. I'll say this about Justin Fields. Now, you know, you can relate him or correlate him to the same player that we're watching tonight, Marcus Mariota, right? A lot of NFL GMs thought he was the saving grace in terms of turning around the franchise, right? Here he is, a backup quarterback in Las Vegas playing well tonight, but nowhere near living up to the expectations. Now, Justin Fields, to me, is a raw athletic quarterback. He has some intangibles, but right now, at this point in his career, he's not a franchise-saving quarterback. But, you know, GMs will reach up because they see the raw attributes and think they could coach it up. But I agree with you. I think he's still an unproven prospect, especially when you keep him in the pocket. He's dominated against mediocre competition in the Big Ten.
I said that he'll win big against Northwestern. That shouldn't be a problem because the athletes always beat the brainiacs. But I said that he'll get his lunch served to him in that college football playoff when they get their Willy Wonka ticket to the Final Four. That, you know, a lot of people think they got gift wrapped and don't deserve. Everyone in Columbus thinks they deserve everything every year, every week. They think they get their way. I think they're a bunch of whiners and crybabies. And I love watching them lose. I think that guy will lose in the playoffs. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't step up last year. Critical interception when it counted most. I think that they win against Northwestern. You're going to laugh at me. I like Northwestern with the points. It's a fishy line. I think somehow, some way, Northwestern covers that number. But I don't think they're one of the best teams in the nation this year. We'll see what happens. But if they go to the college football playoff like Alabama, like Clemson over them this year.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to break down all the championship games on Friday and Saturday. I know that tomorrow there's the Oregon-USC game. But let's remember, Oregon, they just gave Mario Cristobal a new deal. He's done well in Eugene, but they're not even supposed to be in this game. Like, they got, like, lucky, and they filled him in when Washington couldn't go, right? So they're playing USC tomorrow night. The line's 3. We'll come back and talk about all the games with Joe Lees. On a bench. I hit a big basketball bet tonight, Carver High, that Kansas game at Lubbock against Texas Tech. I took
real good game.
Yeah, it was a great game. And I took Kansas getting 1.5. It was my number one play on PharrellOnABench.com. Fantastic game, fantastic finish. I think they had a blocked shot at the end to win it. And they won the game by 1, and they were getting 1.5. So that was a real juicy one. Check PharrellOnABench.com every day for great college snags and hoops. Yeah, like, I'm going to hoop for 2 weeks, right? So you can't go anywhere. You get quarantined wherever you go. If I had my druthers, I'd be in the Caribbean naked right now on a beach with a fatty and G-strings walking by me. But I can't go anywhere. It's just, I don't even want to go to the airport. I got to go do a photo shoot tomorrow for work and for the radio network on Sirius. And I'm scared to death to even go do that. Like, I'm scared to death. Like, I have to take my mask off to take pictures. The guy's like, yeah, you'll only be there for 15 minutes. I go, how long does it take to catch that thing and die? 5 seconds? I'm like, I don't like my odds. We're talking to Joe Lisi. So let's talk about this Friday night slate. All right, so let's start with the big one, USC and Oregon. USC laying 3. Oregon got lucky. They're in the game. I don't think anyone respects them, but maybe they're more dangerous than I think they are. But I still like USC in this game, and I'm laying the 3, and they finish undefeated. But they're not getting in that playoff.
Well, I'm with you on USC beating them. If they can't beat them here at Oregon, you know, a 3-2 team that has nothing to play for, even though they're in the championship game, then they're not one of the top teams in the nation. But they have the advantage at the quarterback, at the wide receiver positions. I'm not sold on Oregon's defense. Even though they've won 3 of the 4 last 4 in the series, give me USC minus the wood. And there is an outside chance. I mean, somehow, some way, if Clemson dominates Notre Dame and something crazy happens in one of these other games, Scotty, they can sneak in if Tulsa knocks off Cincinnati. So you never know. Anything's possible.
Yeah, I wish that were the case. I would love to see, frankly, I'd love to see Indiana there. And I have no problem with USC. I'd love anyone. Besides Ohio State. Now, if Northwestern beats them, they're out, right?
Yeah, there's, I mean, if Northwestern pulls the upset, there is no way you could put Ohio State into the college football playoff. That would be a monumental win and really open things up. That would open things up for Cincinnati. That would open it up for USC. The benefit for USC is that they play tomorrow night. So, you know, they make a statement on Friday night. They sit back, they watch, and then all eyes will be on that 12 o'clock game in Northwestern and Ohio State. So we'll know early on whether there's going to be chaos Saturday afternoon.
Where are they playing that game, in Indianapolis or in Chicago? Where's that Ohio State Northwestern?
I think, yeah, Indy. It's in Indy.
It's in Indy. All right. So let's go back to Friday night. There's the Conference USA Championship game. Marshall laying 4.5 to UAB. Marshall 7-1. I'm on Marshall in that game. I got it at 5.5. I like it even better at 4.5.
Yeah, I like Marshall, but I like the over there. I think there's going to be a lot of points. It's a low total, 42.5. I like Spencer Brown. I like Johnson, the quarterback for UAB. They're a physical team, but they can score points. And put into this matchup against Marshall, that laid an egg against Rice, where Grant Wells did not step up, 5 interceptions. I think they're going to start fast, both teams. So I'm with you on Marshall, but I do like the over in that matchup. It was one of my better plays.
I mean, that was a ticket killer, that Rice game, for me.
Oh, yeah.
That Rice hasn't, I mean, they were getting 20 in that game, and they won the game outright. By the way, Mariota just scored on a 3rd and 2 at the goal line. He dove in and took just a massive shot and landed hard. Probably got the wind knocked out of him, but either or, he didn't get up in any trouble at all. It looked like he was going to not be able to breathe after he landed on the ground, but he scored. He dove and scored. It's 24 apiece. I still don't know how they'll ever cover that 3.5. They'll be lucky if they win the game. But here we go. Let's talk about the MAC championship. Buffalo laying 13.5 to Ball State. The problem I have is, first of all, Joe, I thought Ball State should have. I thought Western Michigan, that should have counted last week. I thought that play was so crazy. And with the entire Ball State football team in the middle of the field drinking beer and having a party and an orgy, the fact that they were all out on that field and no flag was thrown for that, that game was completely fixed. Western Michigan should have won a game. But here's Ball State playing for a MAC championship. I think Buffalo's giving them too much wood.
Yeah, I'm with you there, too. Now, that reminded you of the old 1982 Cal versus Stanford game. Unbelievable. But you look at Ball State, the only game they technically lost was week one in overtime to Miami of Ohio, 38-31. This is an offense that can run the football. They're averaging 198 on the ground. Caleb Huntley is a big-time running back, 5'9", around 225 pounds. Drew Plinn is a pretty good quarterback as well, 13 touchdown passes on the year. And that defense, very underrated. They're good in run support. So, again, Buffalo might win this game, but I still like Ball State plus the 13.5. And I talked to Gabe and Cam earlier. I'm going to take them on the money line. You know, underdogs in the MAC championship have a tendency to come out and win the game outright. So I like Ball State with the points, and I also like them as a big dog to possibly win it.
Wow. I'm gonna middle it. I think Buffalo will beat them. But I like your Stones. Rutgers playing in Piscataway against Nebraska. Again here, I think it's too many points. I like Nebraska to win that game, but I think Rutgers will cover the number, the 6.5.
Yeah, I technically can't bet it here in New Jersey, but I can't. The problem that I have is Nebraska as a favorite this year has been horrible. They just haven't covered all year, especially when they're a double-digit favorite. This is a comparable game. And Schiano has them playing tough. Now, I would think that, you know, they can dominate this matchup, but I just don't have any confidence in Scott Frost this year as a big favorite. Better as an underdog than he is as a favorite. 6.5 scares me. I give the edge to Nebraska, but I don't like the game in terms of the way Rutgers has been playing right now. So we'll see how it plays out, but staying away from that one.
Yeah, and I understand all the rules and everything with New Jersey and Rutgers and betting laws. That's fine. I'm also on everywhere else, every state, every nook and cranny, everywhere. You name it, we're on, and we're global. So here's the deal. Everyone else, go bet it. Everybody else, go bet it. I can't bet it. I'm not allowed to bet it, which is so femmy. It's not even funny. It's ridiculous. But either way, I'm glad we have betting in New Jersey. That's all that matters. Glad they made $1 billion in New Jersey in November betting. But you're not allowed to bet on Rutgers. I get it. But I'm just glad they're all filling their coffers with money. $1 billion in November. That's crazy. All right, let's go to the big ones. Clemson and Notre Dame. Notre Dame getting 10.5.
Yeah, I'm going to let down Carver. I like Clemson a lot in this game. This is one of my better bets. I think they start fast. They ran the football last week, a couple weeks ago against Bobcat. I just think way too many playmakers for Clemson. This is a game where they make a statement. So we'll say no disrespect to what Ian Book and Notre Dame have done. I just think they're up against it, against the Tigers. But we'll see how it plays out. But it's still one of my better bets. I think they roll. I think by anywhere from 17 to 20 points in this ballgame.
Oh, Jesus, 17 to 20. That's not happening in my view. Look, that's like saying Notre Dame sucks. I mean, Notre Dame beat them in double overtime. So Notre Dame getting 10.5. I like that chip. And, you know, I thought Ian Book's a badass. And Clemson played great in that game. And their backup played great. A 5-star, 6-star, 7-star quarterback, whatever you want to call him. I thought he was phenomenal. I think Trevor Lawrence is incredible, too. But I don't think Ian Book gets any respect at all for being a great quarterback and being a winner. And I think that Notre Dame team's loaded. And I think it's going to be a war. And I know Clemson says they don't want revenge. But that's exactly what they want. And let's see if they can get it. Let's see if Notre Dame can punch him in the mouth again. I think it'll be great. All right, Oklahoma and Iowa State. Oklahoma laying 5.5 to a team that beat them. I got to tell you, Joe, I'm on Oklahoma. I think they're playing great football. And I think I know the coach, Campbell's getting all these accolades, coach of the year in the 12th. That's great. I think they're a good team. They're ranked 6th in the playoff, but I think they're going down. That's just me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Oklahoma. Much better running a game than they had in the first week when they played them, right? Stevenson didn't come on then. Offensive line looked inconsistent. The game was played in Ames. There still isn't an explosive offense for Iowa State, and the front seven of Oklahoma playing lights out right now, forcing turnovers. I think they are up against it, Iowa State. I think this is a bad matchup at this point in the season for the Cyclones. They've had a dynamic year. But I feel that Oklahoma rolls in this ballgame. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think the rushing attack is going to wear them down at the point of attack, just the way it did against Texas in the first half of that game.
So Joe's been on fire on the season overall, winning record big time, well over 500. Best picks, well over 500. He's been hitting everything. This week, his favorites, Northwestern getting the points, LSU laying 1.5 over Ole Miss, Mississippi State getting 2 from Missouri, and the over 37 in the Air Force Army. Those are Joe's best picks, and his best picks are on fire. Alabama and Florida in the SEC championship game, Alabama laying 17. I'm going to drop it. I think Alabama's going to pull their pants down.
Well, I can't blame you. They won 6 straight over the Gators by 24 points per game. But I'm going to take – here's what I like. I like Florida to cover, but I actually like them first half. I think if you know, you're going to know if Florida's in it right in the first half. They need to step up, can't start slow, especially after losing as a 25.5-point favorite to LSU. I think they start fast here. I think they cover the first half against Devonta Smith and Mac Jones. We'll see how they cover for the game, but I do like the Gators in the first half of that matchup.
Okay, fair enough. I got to go the whole game. I don't have time for all this sissy stuff. Not talking about you, Joe, but who do you like in the game, in the entire game with the number at 17?
I'm taking the Gators on both sides, though. But I'm taking them plus the 17, and I'm taking them in the first half. I think the better play out of that for me is the first half, though.
They just canceled the Sun Belt game. Coastal Carolina and Louisiana has been canceled because of COVID issues with Coastal Carolina Chanticleer's team. That game has just been canceled. So I'm going to get that bet right. I was going to take Coastal Carolina. Cincinnati minus 14.5 in the AAC title game with Tulsa. By the way, Chargers just missed a field goal on 4th and 3. So the Raiders are going to get the ball with 3.5 minutes left. And the kid, Shankopotamus, he went far left. Who do you like, Tulsa or Cincinnati with the 14.5 chip? I'm on Cincinnati to not only beat them and beat them soundly, I think they're going to end up sleeping with their girlfriends.
I'm with you. I like Cincinnati. Tulsa's had a tendency to start slow. If they start slow against the Bearcats, it's lights out. They have inconsistent quarterback play. I think Cincinnati playing at home wears them down. 14 is very cheap in that matchup. They win it by 21 or more in that ballgame.
You know, Boise never loses to anybody, but I'm going to go onions and take San Jose State getting 6.5 from Boise in the Mountain West Championship game. You like it or not?
Yes, I like that. Plus the 6.5, I like them outright.
So do I. Joe, I got to run. I love you. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. You're the best. I always enjoy having you on. We'll find a way to keep that going no matter what, even if it's college rack. We could just have you on to talk bad about people or talk about chicks. But I love you, man. Thanks, Joe. All right, so Mariota just threw a beautiful strike to Waller on the sideline. Then right after that, the very next play, he hits him on a floater down the right sideline. A brutal, beautiful couple of plays. One, he's on a run, in trouble, sends a rope down the sideline. Waller tiptoe dance, catches it. Then he gets him on the sweet kiss down the sideline, a floater over to D. And Waller with the big gainer, where he was in both of those situations, Mariota was in big trouble in the pocket and got out of it. And the second one, he was about to get his head taken off, and he threw the ball perfectly, and it was like a 30-yard game. I actually think, and I'm going to just say it, this is the best I've seen Mariota look. Maybe, I mean, obviously he's never looked like this with Vegas, but he's looked this way before in Smashville with Tennessee a couple times. I mean, the guy's had a couple of moments in his career. Don't tell me any bad news. Dude, oh, no, he threw a pick. Oh, Christ, you got to be kidding me. And he's going hizzy. Oh, no, the guy's going, oh, Mariota made the tackle. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. And just when I get done saying he's got the best game he's played in years, the guy throws a pick at the end of the game to blow it for Vegas. Are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me. I mean, honestly, you got to be kidding me.
That's what he gets. He deserves it. He should be running the football there. Run it with Jacobs right into the two-minute warning. Pick up a few more yards up the middle. Deserves it. Deserves what he gets.
So who do you blame for that play? You blame Mariota, you blame Gruden?
I blame Gruden.
He just kept throwing the ball.
Gruden.
He just kept throwing the ball.
And the wide receiver, it went off his hands. I mean, honestly.
Jesus H. Christ, you got to be kidding me. Like, I mean, honestly, dude, the guy's playing the game of life. He looks so fantastic. Did you think that was a bad pass or just a bad drop? Both. It was kind of behind him, wasn't it? I think it was a little bit behind. All right, we'll be back with another hour on a bench.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.